It all started in a prison, actually. Investigative reporter Danny Robbins looked into reports of mistreatment of patients by doctors in local correctional facilities, and that reporting appeared in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
We've written about 9 deaths that we can document of women at Pulaski State Prison mm-hmm. and Emanuel Women's Facility. What we're looking at are life and death situations, potentially fatal illnesses being downplayed or ignored.
But Danny didn't end in just looking at doctors in prisons. What he eventually uncovered were unspeakable crimes by physicians that were more widespread than he or his editor could have imagined. The full story was revealed this week in a nationwide investigation that documented widespread sexual abuse carried out by doctors. That investigation cited thousands of reported abuse cases across the country, and many of these criminal acts went largely unpunished, and most of the abusive physicians were allowed to continue seeing patients. In the end, the AJC needed a team of journalists to put the full picture together, and 2 members of that team join us now. Carrie Teagarden is a reporter for the investigations team. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Celeste.
And Jeff Ernsthausen is a reporter and data specialist. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
There was a lot of data to sift.
Yes.
Yes. But one of the things that strikes me as I read through this piece, and I had to read through it 2 or 3 times, as disturbing as it was, to get my mind around what you were saying, was the fact that a lot of data was actually not available. How did you get some of this data? Because it appears as though a lot of the things that occurred when someone was accused, when it went through a medical board, much of that was secret.
Yeah, a lot of it is secret. So we started out by asking medical boards across the country for this data, thinking that they would have something like this, that they would have, categorizations and these kinds of records. Yes. And the majority of them were getting back to us saying that they didn't have what we were looking for. They didn't have these offenses classified in any way that we could analyze as data. So we ended up deciding to kind of take that into our own hands. And what we did is we built what are called scrapers, little bots that would go to their websites and essentially search them systematically and download the information that was on them, including these PDFs that were documenting what physicians had done. And we ended up analyzing those to compile our information.
What did you find? Were you surprised by how many scrapings you got?
Yeah, in the end, we ended up with over 100,000 records from the process, and which is an enormous amount
to
sift through.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, and so we had to kind of figure out a way to target that, and so we ended up creating a program that would essentially assign a probability that we would find sexual allegations in the documents for any given doctor. And then limited our kind of further search to those doctors.
Okay, so Carrie, and a couple people have mentioned in their reporting that you guys found thousands of doctors who've been accused. In those particular cases, how often were doctors accused and then admitted culpability or found to be at fault by any kind of organizing board, whether it be in law enforcement or a medical board?
Well, in the cases that we were able to see, those were cases where there was a finding.
Right.
Otherwise, there would not have been a
public
order.
Otherwise, you wouldn't even have been able to find it.
Exactly.
You can't find accusations that were made, even if they were made by multiple patients against the same doctor, unless they were found culpable.
That's correct. In fact, in some cases where there was eventually a disciplinary action, you would see this long trail that had not been made public. So the cases that we're able to look at are cases where there had been a finding.
So that brings us to Dr. Jacob Ward, who is still practicing in Atlanta?
That's correct.
Okay, so he eventually pleaded guilty to molesting a patient, correct?
Correct.
And when that occurred, it sounds like exactly what you're talking about. Then they found out that 2 other patients had made similar charges.
And that in that case, that was handled privately by the medical board with a private letter to him. So if you were the next patient coming in, you would have no idea that that had taken place. And we found that in numerous states, that's done. Not all states allow it, but many do. And in North Carolina,
where they just send them a letter that we don't know what it says, but it probably says stop doing that.
It's called a private letter of concern. In some cases are private agreements that require a doctor to perhaps always have a chaperone in the room or go take lie detector tests from experts who monitor physicians, and but those are things that might be required. And again, as a patient, you would never know. The kind of secrecy around a lot of these cases was a big finding for us that reminded us in some way of how the Catholic priest scandal unfolded as well, where cases were handled very in secret, private. But in this case, these are state medical boards, you know, that are making a decision that will handle some cases privately. They've told us that in some cases, that's because they feel they don't have the evidence to really make a public disciplinary action.
But
they feel
are not
they have
required
something.
To turn it over to the police?
Well, that's another thing we spent a long time researching. In most states, medical boards aren't required legally to turn cases over to police, even if it's potentially a crime. Some say they do, but only in about 11 states are they actually required by law to do so.
How widely does the treatment of these kind of cases vary from state to state?
I think we saw a fair amount of variance, mm-hmm. Just going through them. I think you would see in some states you could, and it varied a little bit with what we could see based on what they made available to us. But I think you would find some states where you would almost always see it end with a physician losing their license. In other states, you wouldn't see that. And in some states, you'd see the same physician being able to practice in that state where they had lost their ability to practice in several other states.
There's one doctor in particular that you guys mentioned in Austin, Texas, who's been accused 17 times by 17 different patients of sexual misconduct. Still practicing?
That's correct, yes. And that was a case where the police got involved, and the first case that went forward, there was only one victim that the jury knew about. And so when that case ended with an acquittal...
Know of one victim because the medical board keeps the others secret.
Well, the medical board heard from all the others, but for whatever reason and how the case was handled, just one person testified. And then after that case didn't go well, then the medical board sort of compromised. And so that's...
And it didn't go well because there was no physical evidence of misconduct, and so it was basically, do we believe this doctor or do we believe this patient? Is that accurate?
And the defense really attacked the credibility of the patient. And we've seen that. One thing we've seen over and over again is a lot of the patients who are abused tend to be vulnerable patients, people who... maybe even have a history of being abused in the past. People who are there because it's a workers' comp doctor and they really can't change doctors. We had a case where a doctor had told a patient, well, I know you're on Social Security disability, and if you raise any questions about me, I will do what I can to have your Social Security taken away. Doctors who were employment screening physicians. So In a physician-patient relationship, there's always an imbalance of power, but we found that in some cases that imbalance was pronounced by the vulnerability of the patients involved.
Some of this, Jeff, comes down to consent, I saw, but what is the law and what are the restrictions in terms of consensual sex? Is it ever okay for a doctor to have consensual sex with a patient that they're treating?
Not according to the medical community, and in many, many states, it's illegal for them to do so. Well, especially in the case of psychiatrists, for instance. So there are some relationships that are very much, it is an illegal act to engage in any kind of sexual behavior with a patient.
Whether it's consensual. Because I noticed that many of the doctors that responded, either to you or to the medical board, had said, I thought it was consensual. But that's still a problem in most places, is it not?
Yeah, and it raises some questions as well. I mean, these documents don't tell us everything. And one does have to wonder how it came to the attention of the medical board in those instances.
So, Carrie, one of the things that interested me was because you went to the many medical boards and asked them, why have you returned all these people to practice? You write that in Georgia and Kansas, for example, two of every three doctors that have been publicly disciplined for sexual misconduct were allowed to return to practice. And one of the things that surprised me is that they say they have to consider whether or not there are enough physicians, mm-hmm. and how much money has been spent to educate these doctors. That is shocking to me. Why?
We in the story described it as physicians are sort of like the big banks. They're considered too big to fail. A lot of the medical boards were very open with us about the need for doctors. And I think, you know, doctors generally make up the majority of medical boards. And taking away somebody's license is, to them, a really, really drastic move. And so I think they've generally across the country, you see that there's a system that most rely on, which is when they find that a doctor has offended, they generally send them in for some kind of evaluation and treatment. There's an industry that's sprung up that evaluates and treats physicians. And then they return them to practice under conditions that they say are very good and reliable at keeping patients safe. And that's sort of the system. I think the irony for us when we started hearing about this was, well, what if we were talking about a teacher? You know, what if we were talking about a coach? What if we were today talking about a priest? How would that feel? You know, would that feel
if they
like
went
the
in
right
for
way?
Therapy and they signed a letter saying they wouldn't do it again?
Mm-hmm. Now, and we've seen, you know, cases over and over again, teachers generally get arrested.
Yeah,
and it's in law that it's that even if the student involved is 18, consent is not a defense.
My guests are two Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporters who've spent a year on a nationwide investigation into doctors and sexual abuse of patients. That investigation continues, so the AJC is asking you to share your experiences, if you have them. To contact the reporting team, you can email doctors@ajc.com. Carrie Teagarden and Jeff Ernsthausen and their co-reporters found what they call a phenomenon of physician sexual misconduct that is tolerated in every state in the nation. And Carrie, this is the thing. You guys have uncovered thousands of doctors who have admitted culpability or been found culpable, but we don't know actually how large the problem is at this point.
That's correct. And nobody really knows. And I think that's one thing that we feel should be on the public policy agenda, that there should be better tracking, better awareness, and more transparency around this so that at the very least, patients can be aware if their own doctor has been disciplined or a doctor that they're considering going to has had an issue.
Yeah, I mean, before I send my daughter to a doctor, that's horrifying. So, Jeff, what questions do you still need to get answered? What has not been settled for you?
I think we still want to, and we have work left to scrutinize various parts of the system that go into what we find out and what we don't find out and what does happen to doctors and what doesn't happen to doctors.
Do you mean the processes once somebody makes a complaint? Is that what you're talking about? What happens then?
From point A to the end of the process, I think we will be taking a close look at the various actors that would come into that system.
And again, there's no national standard for that, right? It varies from state to state?
That's correct.
According to Medical Board, Jeff Ernsthausen and Carrie Teagarden are part of the reporting team that uncovered new data on doctors and sex abuse of patients for the AJC. We have a link to their story at our Facebook page. Jeff and Carrie, I assume I'll be talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.